We're community-supported Shine FM.
Hi, this is Angie here at Shine FM, and it's time for our community spotlight. These are things that are going on in and around our listening area that could affect you and your family. Well, friends, I want to do due diligence. As a media person, it's really important for me to help you to get the right information. So this morning, I invited a couple of gentlemen into the studio to answer the questions about COVID-19. First is Ben Stoller, our mayor of Belle Fountain. Good morning.
Good morning.
I love the fact that you put out an email the other day to just remind people that we need to watch out for everybody in our lives and don't be going and buying all the stuff off the shelves, right?
I think you probably touch base on the two most important points. It's not just about us. We certainly need to get the message. But it is about checking on your neighbors, your family members, even reminding, I've got five grandchildren. I reminded my kids, I love you, but it's probably best that your kids not come over and sit in my lap and hug me.
I have a brand new newborn grandchild, and I'm thinking, I probably should just kind of keep my distance myself. I mean, I don't know if that
we FaceTimed this weekend, and yet we're all feeling well. But it's just the thing to do. And secondly, it really is about when you saw three packages of toilet paper that were left and you grabbed all three. Well, really, let's think about who else could have used those other two.
And so, and I know that the counties around us are all making sure that the kids still eat, the kids that are on free and reduced lunches. I think this is fantastic. But my thing is, I don't understand what to believe, and I don't understand what all of these big moves that the governor is doing. And I love how you put how the governor is responding to this. I love how you say this. Go ahead and say it again about being a parent.
Well, the governor, who's, by the way, taking a beating from a lot of people, and by the way, I think it's because we've never been here before. This is an unprecedented measures that we're taking. I like the fact that our governor, if you notice and stack him up against the other 49 governors, he's really out in front of this. And so he's listening to the smart medical people around him, and the numbers are there. Their numbers are real, and I hope we can dive in a little bit to numbers this morning. But I said to you, Angie, that it's a little bit like when you're young and you don't understand why your mom says you can't go out and play in the rain, or why when it's cold, you should put on a hat and gloves and boots. And as children, we thought, but I feel great. I just want to go out and enjoy this. But a parent has a greater understanding of the realities, statistics. And so that's why we didn't understand necessarily why the governor's telling us all these steps and even shutting down certain businesses where we all just seem to congregate. And so it's important to just give some understanding and some peace of mind and pray that all of this will help flatten the curve. And I hope we talk about that as well. But we need to minimize our exposure to one another and just get through this period of time. And I truly believe, and I pray about this, that we'll get back to a normal time. Although I think we're all learning, maybe the handshake isn't as important. I'm a huggy kind of guy. Yeah. Maybe hugging isn't as important. But being there for one another is the most important.
So in the studio with us today is Dr. Ryan Kaufman. And to find a level-headed professional is very refreshing. And good morning. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Great to be here this morning.
So my first question is, why is the governor taking such drastic steps? And why should we listen? Because I know a lot of us are underplaying it because we think it's overreacting.
So early on, it's really easy to think that maybe this is just like the flu, but this is very different than the flu for a couple of reasons. First of all, this is a disease that none of us have immunity to. And so usually in a normal flu season, we might see 20% of the population getting flu. With this, what the experts are saying is somewhere between 40 and 70% of us are going to have the disease here over the next period of time. And so that's very different. The other piece of it that's very different is what we see in terms of the fatality rates. With influenza, what we see is even in the elderly, it's much less than a 1% mortality rate, meaning less than 1% of even those over the age of 80 who get it are dying from it. What we see with this COVID infection is that in those who are over 80, about 15% of people who get it will die, assuming that they're able to get full medical care, which in countries like Italy right now is not possible because so many people are sick with it.
So I heard Dr. Oz saying, and I just happened to hear this interview and I thought it was really good, is that a lot of this social distancing is just to give the medical professionals time to catch up, because right now the hospitals really can't keep up with it, correct?
Yeah. So right now in this country, the hospitals are doing okay in our part of the country. When you get out to Washington State, they're already overwhelmed. The social distancing and the hand washing and the not touching your face and the and just staying away from sick people is really about reducing the number of people that are sick at a time so that the hospitals don't become overwhelmed. It's also about trying to delay the disease, because right now we don't have a vaccine. It's going to probably be at least another year and a half or 2 years before we do have a vaccine.
Would we be able to, because it's a virus?
Absolutely. So influenza is also a virus, and we have vaccines for that.
Okay.
So there should be able to be a vaccine. However, the amount of time it takes to develop that vaccine, it's not going to be available in a month or two. It's going to be at least a year and a half, probably 2 years, before we're able to produce it and test it and use it at scale. But the longer that we can delay infections, the more chance we have for that. Right now, we have no treatment for this disease. We can certainly treat symptoms, but there is no drug for this itself. Now, the good news of this is that most people get the infection. It's pretty mild. So about 80% of people who get infected are going to have a bad cold, and that's it.
Yeah, that's a really good number. That's 80% is a good number.
80% is a good number, but the bad number is more than 5% will require hospitalization.
Yeah.
And so that when you look at that piece of it, that's the scary part of it is somewhere between 5 to up to 20% of people may need hospitalization, may need oxygen, may need those kinds of things. And so when you look at it that way, that's 80%. So is we've had a lot worse diseases. However, it's a pretty scary number when you multiply out the numbers.
And I know that from your little chart you gave me that we're really looking at people that are over 70. So all of us who are not over 70 really have a responsibility to our older population to do all these steps, is what you're saying.
Well, absolutely. Although I hate to break it to you, for this disease, older really starts at about 50.
Oh, so wait a minute.
Many
now.
Of us fall in that category.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
So what we see is for those under 50, the death rates are really quite low. For those who are under 40, the death rate is about 0.2%. For those,
I like that number.
Yeah, that's a good number. That's a great number. So what we're going to see is, while we're not going to see no deaths in young people, we're going to see very, very few. Almost everybody's going to get better. And it's not going to be a huge deal for many of those people. When we get into that 40 to 49 group, we about double it. So it goes up to about 0.5%. And then basically in every 10 years after that, it doubles again. So by the time you're at 70, the death rate's up to about 8%. So it's already pretty high there. But at 60, it's about 4%.
Okay, I have a lot of questions, but I got to take this in steps. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we are going to talk more about this COVID thing and answer your questions. 937-593-8890. I know that you guys are probably sick of hearing it, but let's be realistic. Let's talk about the actual facts. And we're going to continue doing that in just a few. I really want to encourage you guys this morning to listen in carefully, because we're talking about the virus. We're talking about what kind of things are going on around us and what the truth and the reality is. And we don't want to ensue panic, because we want you guys to just have the facts. So this morning, Ben Staller, our mayor of Bell Fountain, is in here. And Ben, back to the response of the people, we are asking everybody to follow the governor's orders, because it's really important, correct?
Yes, and it's really all about just keeping a distance, keeping yourself, of course, safe, but it's really about those things which used to bring us so much closer together. So it's public gatherings. It's even, as you saw from news last night, it's reached restaurants and bars, because I think two things. One is we're just not heeding the warnings, and we're not understanding again. So
the seriousness.
So our governor's being our parent and saying, well, if I close the bar, then you can't gather with people closely and enjoy yourselves. Secondly, and this is only in theory, that people who might be in their 20s or 30s, and maybe they're the ones going to the bar, they're also looking at this statistically and saying, well, I'll probably get the flu, but I'll be okay. I just ride these things through. Maybe I'll feel weak or dizzy. The truth is, though, now these people become part of the spread. They become part of this horrible mathematical equation. And so,
so
it doesn't matter if it's
say.
Children or young adults or the elderly. Everybody needs to know that the reason we keep a distance and keep ourselves healthy is so we're not spreading
the disease. Because not everybody is going to be strong enough to be able to fight it off, which is why we have Dr. Kaufman in this morning. And Dr. Kaufman, we were talking earlier about who is at risk and how we can do our part as the community to protect those lives around us. Now, you're saying that there's going to be a lot of people who will probably get it. And you said it's important to report it. Why? Because a lot of times they say, just stay home and take care of yourself and go through the process of having the flu. But you're saying differently.
So first of all, do just stay home and take care of yourself.
Yes.
For those who have mild cases, it's absolutely important to stay home. Do not expose people. The problem is this looks just like a cold. Hopefully for those of you who get sick, most of you will just have cold-like symptoms. So runny nose, congestion, cough, sore throat, maybe a little diarrhea. It's only in those who get really sick where things get worse and they get significant shortness of breath. And sometimes I get to the point they can't breathe on their own.
Because this does attack the respiratory system.
Mostly respiratory system. We do see some heart complications late for some people who have bad respiratory stuff, but it's the lungs that are the big problem.
Okay.
And so for those who are more mild, the right answer is to stay at home. Now on a community basis, what we really need to do is we need to get more testing. And they're working on that, but that's been one of our big struggles in this country is having enough tests. So right now in Ohio, the only people who they're able to test are those who are in the hospital or critically ill.
So that's why we're doing the social distancing, to give them a little bit of time to help them to be able to fight it better.
So that's part of it. Yeah, that's a big part of it. So the challenge is the official number, for those who are watching it, is 30-some cases here in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
But those are only critically ill people in the hospital because they aren't testing anybody else. The real number is probably closer to somewhere over 100,000. And what we're seeing is those numbers are doubling on a every few day basis.
Well, I'm noticing that because I remember a week ago, it wasn't even a week ago, they said, we have 4 confirmed cases. And now you're telling me 32.
Yeah. And so that's exactly what we see is the numbers go up rapidly. And fortunately, in Ohio, we've not had any deaths yet, but that will come because that happens weeks into the disease.
Yeah, you've been following other countries to follow how this has been happening in China and Italy.
Yeah, or the state of Washington. And so, there's a couple of places to look at. The way this has happened in Italy is probably one of the worst examples of what not to do.
Okay.
And South Korea is one of the best examples of how to manage this. China's been an interesting example because they started off with absolutely handling it in a horrible way. They denied it was there. They didn't respond to it. They didn't take those measures early on. And that's why they had 80,000 cases in a hurry.
Ooh,
now, what we've
wow.
seen over the last month or so is they've done a fabulous job of shutting everything down, keeping people at home, and not exposing more people. And so their rate of spread is incredibly low now. But South Korea has done actually a really pretty good job from the beginning. Now, as we talk about social distancing, there's some really interesting examples in South Korea. There was one person who was diagnosed, but went to church after they had symptoms and basically exposed about 2,000 people to the disease.
Oh no!
And they had a cluster of over 600 people who that was where they got the disease.
Oh wow!
And so it's critically important to be very, very careful with these things. The other challenge we have with this disease is it's possible to spread it before you have symptoms.
Sure.
So you can
yeah.
spread it if you have very mild symptoms, or you can spread it if you don't have symptoms yet. And so that's why it's so important to stay away from people who are at risk. And so that's why even if you're young and healthy, it's not a great idea to go out and be with a bunch of other people.
Yeah, even though you feel great.
Even when you feel great, you can still be spreading it. And so that's why it's really important to find other ways to connect to people. So this is a great time to be calling people because for the people who are staying at home, it's kind of lonely, especially the older people.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I was having a hard time after my knee surgery, just staying alone.
Absolutely. And so this is a great opportunity when you have time to reach out to those people and talk to them on the phone.
Yeah.
Do a video call with them or something like that. The other thing to remember is keeping that distance. So 6 feet is what you want. It's always good to give a little bit of extra space. But outside is a good place to talk to people. So if they're standing in their doorway and you're standing back from 8 or 10 feet, that's a fairly safe thing to do.
Okay.
And so when you do have those interactions, making sure you're doing that. But even when you have to go to the store, limiting your trips to the store, not running out all the time. But when you do need to go, making sure that you're keeping your distance from people when you're there, fighting that urge to go up and shake somebody's hand, and you can talk to people, but making sure that you keep that distance.
And cleaning your space, correct?
Cleaning your space. So first of all, make sure you're washing your hands. What we see with this virus is it can live on surfaces. Hard surfaces keep the virus better, and we're seeing up to 3 days is what the what everything's suggesting. On softer surfaces, up to day. And so making sure that you're cleaning the things around you, whether it's your phone at work, whether it is your workspace, and then making sure that you're washing your hands often.
And they say that really does, it's very effective to wash your hands, but washing your hands correctly, yep. I'm sure is
yep.
the other part that you know better than the rest of us.
You do need to wash your hands correctly. So soap and water, you want to take at least 20 seconds, which is a lot longer than it seems.
Say the Lord's Prayer. That's 20 seconds long while you're washing your hands. There you go.
And you want to make sure you're getting between your fingers, you're getting the backs of your hands, not missing your thumbs, getting all those things is very important. When you don't have soap and water around, using hand sanitizer is another good option if you have some, although it's in a little short supply right now.
But you have to be able to wash your hands first before the hand sanitizer. You can't just depend on hand sanitizer alone.
Absolutely. And one of the big key is you don't want to using it repeatedly. Using it a few times is good. It will kill off the virus pretty well as long as you have the stuff that's 70% alcohol, which all these commercial ones are. But then from time to time, you do need to be washing your hands as well. And then the other things are keeping your hands away from your face. I know that's hard for a lot of us.
Oh my gosh, I can't do it.
I've been touching mine during...
You've been touching yours during the whole interview?
Yes, yes. But I'm not going to shake your hand or touch you, so...
You're 6 feet away.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Dr. Kaufman,
yeah?
You're not 6 feet away from patients, so how are you doing?
So far I've been healthy, but as a medical professional, I recognize that I will get this disease at some point. We're doing everything in the office we can to try to prevent that, or at least delay that, because the reality is when I get sick, I will no longer be able to see patients for at least a couple of weeks and potentially 3 or 4 weeks. So what are we doing? We are making sure we talk to every patient before they come in. If they have any respiratory symptoms at all, we are dealing with everything we can over the phone. We're helping get them plugged in with somebody who can take care of it, because in our office, we don't have the personal protective equipment we need. It's not available now at any price.
Mm.
And so we have to face that reality. And so, but many of these things we can deal with over the phone. If it's viral, whether it's COVID or whether it's just a regular cold, there's nothing medically that we can do to treat it. We treat symptoms. And so we can do that over the phone very well. So we want to talk to people over the phone. We're able to do video visits.
Oh, there you go.
So that basically, somebody could take their phone and they can see me, I can see them, and we can deal with a lot of issues that way. It is partnering with the hospital, partnering with the health department to figure out how we treat the people who are suspected to have the disease right now. We continue to make plans on a community level for those things. But I recognize that for myself, at some point I'm going to get this. And for that, we've put plans in place of how we try to delay that as much as we can and how we deal with that when that happens.
Yeah. And, I know we talked about this really briefly because we've got to go back to a song. But one of the things we talked about briefly was if you think you have it, to definitely let the professionals know, medical
professionals. Call ahead anywhere you go, whether you come into the office, whether you're going to the hospital. It's very, very important that they're prepared and ready, because if you contaminate those spaces, if you sit down next to somebody else, you may pass on this disease.
But you said it was also really important to let them know because you need to be able to track the virus. We need to be able to track it successfully in the medical, the people who are trying to stop this.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important they're working on getting more tests. Once we have tests, again, using the example of South Korea, they have drive-through testing stations. So you pull up in your car and they check you for COVID as well as other things that are going around in the community, influenza and those kinds of things. You never get out of your car. They call you the next day with results. And we need to be able to see some creative solutions like that. But first, we have to be able to get the tests because in our state, we don't have them.
Angie, a lot of planning and almost disaster drills have been run for weeks, now months, in preparation for this. And I want to tell you, while that seems like something you might see or hear on the news, we're actually making plans for that location, how traffic would flow, how you would drive up in your car and be tested. Because as Dr. Kaufman hit the nail on the head, it's not a matter of whether or not this may happen. It's when it will happen and to what extent. And so we're actually in preparation for that as a community. I don't tell you that because it's scary. I tell you that because, first of all, someone, your listeners especially, should be reassured that the community's planning ahead. We're not getting caught flat-footed on this. We're staying out in front of this as best we can. But when I hear the two of you talking about drive-by clinics to get a nasal swab to see if you're positive, when the testing kits are more readily available, we will be in a position like that. And it also keeps that distance out of the hospital, out of the doctor's offices, and yet provides the information that people want and need to know.
So again, we're taking a little extra time today to talk about this because I think it's important you guys get the facts. And if you still have questions or comments, you can text in 937-593-8890. Friends, the reason why I'm doing this is because I want you to understand that we need to take the governor's recommendations or orders seriously, and we need to be able to do the social distancing, even though it doesn't seem right for us because we feel like we're okay. It's really important to do that because we need to protect the rest of the population and try to keep this thing under control while the medical professionals are trying to find answers and testing and all of that stuff. So let's all do our part. We're going to continue this discussion in a few minutes. This morning, we're having a very important conversation about the reality of what's going on in our society. I've got Ben Stoller, our mayor of Belle Fountain. He is in the studio with us today. And Ben, I know that you're also in the medical professional. You're a pharmacist, so you kind of see things from that side, but you understand the medical side as well, which is important why you're in here, because you're also a public official.
It's fair enough. I wear both hats, and so that's why I try to almost put myself in the middle. I understand how people are frustrated. This causes anxiety for us. And so I'm trying to be a voice of calm in the storm. However, we can't make this go away. What we can do is help one another to get through this. And we will look back. I'm positive of that. Prayers answered. We'll look back and say, wow, remember 2020. Remember what it did to the stock market. Remember how they actually closed restaurants and bars and other public gathering places. We're living it. This is unprecedented, but let's make the best of this time and let's help one another.
Well, and I guess that's my point. And Dr. Ryan Kaufman is in with the studio with us today and giving us some real hard facts. And I'm honestly was hoping for better news out of you. You're not delivering.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough news and it's tough. And while this is certainly unprecedented for any of us who are alive now, this is not unprecedented in human history. I mean, in everything from the flu pandemic and going back through the generations, there have been many, many things like this. But for anybody who's alive now, we've never seen anything quite like this.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess I was hoping that you would tell me that this is going to be short-lived and this is just being overcautious. But you're saying this is really not being overcautious. They're really studying other cases of how this is happening around the world.
So absolutely. So what we're seeing is we are a few weeks behind some of these other places. But knowing what the numbers are now, if we don't change things, we can kind of see where they're going to be and kind of predict those. And so what we're trying to do is act and act quickly, because what we see is even a few days quicker action make a tremendous number of difference in the number of cases and the number of deaths. And so by acting quickly, by acting decisively, we can make a difference. And that's why I am so impressed with the courage of Governor Mike DeWine and Director of Health, Dr. Acton. They have taken steps that while certainly could be seen as unpopular steps, are absolutely critical, and they have saved an untold number of lives
so
by doing that.
Whether you believe in what they're doing politically or not, what they're doing is really trying to protect us, is what you're saying. So we really should listen to them.
So, you know, as I look at the situation, we have a Republican governor who made a decision that a very brave decision that was very much went against what many in his party on a national basis were pushing. And so this was not a political move. This was not a self-preservation move. This was a right move. Mm. It was a very brave move. And as you can see from every state that's followed him, shows that he's a true leader in a time.
To save lives. And how do you put a price on saving someone's life?
Well, and I realize that. The thing is that I'm understanding from you, Dr. Kaufman, is that even though we are all, even though we may not feel or be in a high risk feeling situation, that we as a population really need to be doing our part to help those that are going to have a hard time when they get this.
Absolutely. And the challenge of it is, while most of us will be okay, In all the age categories, even in the folks over 80, most of them will recover.
Yeah.
However, when we look at a place like the City of Bell Fountain, where we have over 13,000 people here in town, is that we will see deaths in every age group, even at the very best case scenario that's been proposed of
and you can't
of low
predict
spread.
That. You can't predict that because of their immune systems, correct?
Well, you don't know. I mean, the challenge is those who are not healthy are at much higher risk. But it's like everything else. We don't know who the individuals are. And so that's why we need to protect everyone.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing this morning. What about you, Ben? Is we really just need to do our part. We need to follow their orders. Basically, they're not doing this politically. They're doing this because this is the right move and they're trying to protect us. So we really need to listen.
So I can only circle back to that analogy you and I came up with about listening to our parents when we were younger. It's not that we have to enjoy this, but part of what we're doing this morning and part of what will happen over the next few weeks is a greater understanding of why we're doing this.
Yes.
And that it does make a difference. And so our eyes can get crossed as we look at some of these mathematical scenarios, but they're real, and we haven't really talked about some of the other countries who have actually seen these numbers at greater pandemic reality. And so we're learning from them. We're learning from, as Dr. Kaufman said, from our own history. We know how these can spread. It's just human nature. Let's do our best to get through this and help one another.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know that the health department has a lot of ways of helping us out. There's also Ohio State Health Department has actually created a hotline so people can ask questions, correct?
Absolutely. And I'm sure you'll put the information up there on your website when you put this up.
Yeah, it's already there.
Perfect. And so the State Department of Health is taking the lead on this. Certainly, CDC is a great source of information that's accurate information and some of the best information there. And so make sure you're getting your information from good sources because there's a lot of misinformation out there.
I also wanted to add, let's remember all of the people who are in the industry that are now affected and may even, as we turn out more distancing from one another, businesses are affected. So let's do what we can to support them. Restaurants now are closed, but they're making every effort to still provide meals on a takeout basis or a delivery basis. Mm. So again, when we're out there shopping, get what you need, but don't overbuy. Don't hoard, for heaven's sakes. And remember all those businesses that some of them run on a very critically small margin of profit. And so being closed for weeks or a month can be devastating to small businesses. So let's continue to also shop locally and support our community in that fashion as well.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Kaufman and Ben, thank you so much for being here this morning. I mean, it's not the stuff I wanted to hear, frankly, but it does help me to remember to pass on the message to do what they say to do, because it's important for the entire population, especially those folks that will get it. Because even though you said the numbers may be in their favor, the younger they are, it's really going to affect everybody.
Absolutely. And just remember to wash your hands, keep your hands away from your face. you know, cover up your mouth when you cough and keep that distance. I know you like to be close to people. You like to be able to greet people, but do it from 6 feet away, from 8 feet away, and
yeah.
give that space so you're not not getting infected, not infecting others.
All right. Well, there's the hard news for this morning. I hope you guys have learned something from this conversation. I'm sorry that it took so much time away from the music you love, but I thought, you know what? I have to do my part to get the message out to you guys. I'm going to be putting this interview back up on our website. We've got information there from the Ohio Department of Health. We've got information there about what's going on in the communities to help other people. So make sure you check out shinefmohio.com.
Community supported. Shine FM.